Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. The purpose of the book is to reveal that life apart from God is vanity, empty, useless, and worthless. And we learn more about that here. Chapter 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What is this passage saying? It's saying that God orders time and events. There is nothing by chance. And in the Mark passage we read this morning, we saw one little incident that revealed predestination. The Lord had planned for that man to be carrying a pitcher of water, and he had predestinated that the man with the two-story house would be willing to let them use that house and have it prepared. We are people who have been predestinated to be here to believe. We have been elected and chosen. That's predestination. Providence is the working out of those events. God had predestined that he would create. And there came a time when he did. There came a time for us to be on earth, and we are here. That's by his providence. Now, God is in charge of it all. Now, here are 14 statements. It won't be necessary for us to consider all of them in detail, but let's just look at a few and try to summarize what we can learn. He says there is a time to be born and a time to die. Both are ordained of God. Our Lord Jesus Christ was born on the exact day and in the exact place that had been predestinated. But so were you. And so was I. Now, do you moan and complain about that? Or do you accept that? God knowing what is best and right. Birth and death. Your death is ordained. Our Lord Jesus Christ died at the exact moment predestinated historically and carried out providentially by wicked people. But not a moment too soon and a moment too late, and it will be the same way with our death. No one can stop it. No one can hasten it. You say, well, Bill, what about the people who commit suicide? Don't they bring about their own death? No, what about the people who try it and can't? Not successful. No, it's in God's hands and in God's way. And no accident, tragedy, or catastrophe is in charge of that. No one can touch our life apart from God using that person. Well, accept that. Thank God for that. You know, an interesting thing about this, he says there's a time to be born and a time to die, but he doesn't talk about living. But we can insert that. There's a time to live. And sometimes we say, well, that person was born too soon. He should have been born back there before cars and stuff. Or he's born too late or something. No, our life is right. We are predestinated to be on this earth right now, today. And some of us go through the valley of the shadow of death, and God preserves us to be here. And it's right. We accept that. Accept your life today as being under the ordaining power of the Lord God Creator. And knowing it's just right for you. To everything, there's a season, a time for every purpose, person under heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die, and a time to live. And life apart from God is absolutely useless. Well, let's look at the second thing he says. A time to plant and a time to reap, or pick what's planted, and immediately you think of a farmer. There's the planting season. There's a time to plant. Now, we just took a tree out of our yard and we're going to plant some grapes. But I don't know the exact time to plant them, so I have to call my expert, back my old neighbor across the street, and ask him when we should plant the cuttings. Because there's the right time to do that, so we'll have the right grapes. So the farmer has to know the right time for planting, and he has to know the right time for reaping. And when we lived up in the Sacramento area, in the grape country of Lodi, and I got to know those vineyard keepers, they had to pick those grapes at exactly the right day so they would be ready for market and they would get the highest price. It was amazing. They were out there day and night watching. There's a time to plant and a time to reap. It's not only the farmer, what about the student? A student goes and goes and goes and goes to school and studies and studies, and then there's a time. He reaps the benefit of that. Now, we know that some people are professional students and they'll go to school all their life. Some of them won't go to work, but for mostly it's a sowing and reaping. What about the athlete? He trains hard and he goes through preparation, finally gets to play and scores a goal, whatever. It's been interesting to me to read about Phil Jackson, the new coach of the Lakers, and how he's preparing those millionaires making $12-15 million a year, and he's making them go through basics of learning how to run, learning how to shift and dodge and how to stop without even giving them a basketball. And I'm sure that some of those guys who think they've arrived are saying, what is this? We don't need to do this. But watch out for the Lakers this year, because that coach knows what he's doing. And they're going to reap. What about parents? Parents pour their life into children and young people. And children and young people don't know it. Just don't realize it. I never realized what my father died when I was 9, but what my mother went through with 5 children. What she sacrificed for me. How hard parents work. How they sweat and cry and bleed, get to laugh once in a while, and then they see the fruit. It's great. I'm so thankful I'm looking back. Now, most of you are looking ahead, but hang in there. By the grace of God, it'll be great and wonderful. Solomon, you're right. There's a time to plant and a time to reap. Could I break in here with something that's not on this list? It's sort of here. One of the lessons we're going to learn is to do the right thing at the right time. There is a time for parents to make children sit. There is a time to play. But there's a time to sit. It isn't natural for them, but you can make them do it. And they learn to do the right thing at the right time. This was one of my problems throughout childhood and youth. I had enough mischief that I enjoyed upsetting the apple cart to do the wrong thing at improper times. And what I was doing was not necessarily evil, it was just the wrong time. And if you can help your children and young people and adults learn to do the right thing at the right time, there's a time to be serious. There's a time to play. There's a time to worship. Make the most of that time for other things. Well, there's so many things here. Another one that's not in the text, but let me just throw it out here. It's from Proverbs. And it says, remove thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary. There's a time to come and a time to go. Don't stay too long. Don't overdo the graciousness of your host. Don't stay too long. Come and go. A time for mourning and rejoicing, gaining and losing. And I must just talk about one other thing. A time to keep and a time to throw away. And I've got the look. Moving on. A time for war and peace. There's a time to fight for freedom. And with our country involved in two world wars that if we had lost would have enslaved probably the entire known world. That was right to fight for freedom. It is not wrong for a Christian to go to war and kill the enemy. There's a time for peace. Summaries. Learn to do the right thing at the right time. Otherwise, you're in trouble. Oh, just let me share a little incident that I used to do. I took typing in high school. I don't know. I think to get a credit or something. But then in learning to type, you go, the teacher gives you with her ruler and she goes, J, 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 K, K, K. Is that, do you know about that? Okay, the class. I do it on the offbeat. So that I'm off time and come and slap my hands with her ruler. Well, what I was doing was not evil, but it was the wrong time for that. I have seen so many children and young people in trouble just over that. Learn to do the right thing at the right time. And another thing we learn, that God is sovereignly in control, has a time and a purpose for everything. And what's easy for us to question, why? It seems like the wrong time, and it seems like it has no purpose. But it does. Another thing we learn is that we are in a world of changes. Things and events change so rapidly sometimes. The seasons change. And we thought we were in fall. And then Santa Ana wind comes along and says, no, it's hot, so... Events change. You know, what changes the most is people. There are some people who are so moody, you never know how they're going to be when you meet them. Whether they're up or down or angry or whatever. People change. But the change is divinely determined, fixed. Now, what do we need to do? We need to accept God's providence. Are you fighting something this morning? Are you complaining about something? Is there trouble, trial, tribulation, distress? Has a purpose? And we need to accept that as being from God Himself. There is a verse in Job where Mrs. Job has confronted him and said, curse God and die. And he says, shall we accept good at the hand of God and not difficulty? And he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Two words, though slay. God has a right to take our life. He has the right and a good purpose to bring any kind of trial or difficulty into our life. And we need to accept that and trust Him. Though He slay me, I will not deny Him. I will not betray Him. I trust Him. Now, we don't have time to go into the detail of the rest of this passage. I just want to refer you to verse 13. Verse 13, Solomon writes, "And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor, it is the gift of God." Life is the gift of God. Doesn't come from anything, anyone else. It is from God Himself. God is life. And He gives life. It's the gift of God. God orders life. And Solomon says that life is linked to eternity. And life can be enjoyed now with these truths. If you know there's a time for every purpose and event under heaven, and it's given to you by God, you surrender to His providence, we can enjoy life now, no matter what comes. Though He slay me, yet I will trust in Him. How do you enjoy life now? Well, we have the right God, and we have the right purpose. Our right purpose is to worship and honor Him and to go into all the world and make disciples of everyone. Do you have the right purpose? If you're not living for the right purpose, life is a drag. If you're living for the eternal purpose and you understand the biblical directive to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them and teaching them what the Lord commands, and to make disciples of all people, that's a worthy purpose and a glorious mission. And I'm thinking that when we begin the new year, our emphasis will be to make disciples and have a growth, not just in numbers, but an increase in the numbers of people who are growing, who are mature, and who are disciples of Christ. And we engage in bringing that about. What a great purpose. We have a mission, we have a purpose, but how about priority this morning? What is priority? It's actually who gets the most attention. That's priority. Who gets most of your time and your interest? Well, from what we learn in Ecclesiastes, anything other than God is empty, doesn't last, too temporary. So we thank the Lord for the book of Ecclesiastes, for including chapter 3, and for reminding us that God is sovereignly in control for time and events and our individual lives. Let's pray that He'll cause us to surrender to Him. Heavenly Father, we do bow to You. And we pray for surrender, which is difficult and really rather impossible for us on our own. So we would ask that the Holy Spirit of the living God, our Comforter, our Strengthener, will go here this morning and visit us, go from heart to heart, and work in our hearts this morning to cause us to surrender to the truth of Your Word, to surrender to Your providence in our life right now, and to give ourselves to You in service to make disciples. Bless this scripture to our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.